Humboldt to you all. You are listening to Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost's weird podcast attempt where we Zoom chat with folks in our community to see how they're doing in these oh-so-bizarre times. My name is Stephanie McGarry.
And I'm Andrew Goff. If you're anything like me, you spent your week wondering how the color of the morning sky was going to affect your anxiety levels. Fire was on the collective Humboldt mind this week, specifically the August complex, which has been slowly burning toward the county's southeast corner. That portion of the county happens to be overseen by Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. And luckily, Estelle has agreed to get Zoomy with us today. So let's try this out. Estelle?
There I go.
Oh, that.
Nice. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. This morning.
Hi,
as well.
Hey.
Yeah.
So I imagine you're pretty busy, so we can.
Oh. Branding, be quiet. It's Saturday morning.
Guard dog. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. So we can jump right into this. First of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to Loco. So it looks like for the moment, at least, things are calming down a little bit. We had, you know, the psychologically jarring orange sky day and some mandatory evacuations in the southeastern part of your district, south of 36. Now, some of those evacuation orders have been reduced for various communities, but obviously we still want to send some positive energy Soham's way. I guess the first thing I want to ask you before we get deeper into this, I don't know where in your district you yourself live, but how has this affected you personally? Have you had to prepare to evacuate or anything?
No, I was not in the evacuation order or warning. So I felt lucky that way that I could continue with my work and not have to deal with that. Although just the very fact that you had all that heavy, heavy smoke and everybody around you, it definitely made me think, okay, this is what I'm going to do if I've got to get ready. And I think that was a really big part of this, was everybody understanding how important it was to be ready. So it didn't really affect me in that way, but it certainly affected the whole community, no matter where we live. I know the people who were outside of the warning were still concerned, because the concern was that if this comes across the river and comes all the way down, the next place to stop it would be Highway 101. And that would be just awful. So right now we're very, very grateful to the firefighters. I just came from the incident command camp at Eel River Camp. They're setting up with incident management team 3, and it's a joint response from Redway and or from Southern Humboldt and from Ukiah. Okay. So they're working together, and yeah, you said that things have calmed down for sure. It, you know, the concern is still there because it's so close, and it's just such a difficult area to defend should the fire progress. But right now, there it is the first priority of the whole region. It's the highest priority today. So at the briefing this morning, they were sending people out there to try to get it to the point where they can breathe easy. I move on to contain the whole fire. So, you know, it's a little calmer, but there's still a lot of concern.
Sure. Yeah, you are already talking a little bit about this, just sort of how the operations are going and what is a priority right now. What have you heard about evacuation sites that the county is promoting? And, you know, how do you feel like the county's response is going? Do you feel like the people who need it are having their needs met right now?
Well, I think there are two aspects of the evacuation. As far as people having a place to go, a lot of people, you know, have gone and stayed with friends. We have the Mateo Community Center open for people who feel comfortable there. And we also, of course, have the potential for people to go to the county fairgrounds, as well as the fact that the Red Cross is giving out vouchers for people to stay in hotels. So as far as housing goes, even with the COVID situation, it's working fine, in my view, or what I understand. I think the evacuation zone's been problematic for people in the area. Remember, this is a highly rural area. People are concerned now if they left, they can't get back in, or if they want to go in and out. And we've been fielding a lot of calls about that. Yesterday, there was a move to bring the fire line, to bring the evacuation line south a bit, but there was a compromise as to where that was going to land, and that still affected some people. So that's been, I think, very frustrating for those who want to make sure that their livestock are taken care of, or their farms, or whatever you have. So I've been fielding a lot of calls on that regard. But that's the part of the evacuation we're dealing with now. And talking with Humboldt Illinois chief, Kurt McCray, he said, this is not unusual. It happens in every big fire, especially in rural areas. People have a feeling that they're independent and they can manage their own home. And in fact, people do stay, but the problem is people going in and out, that they are kind of clamping down on and saying, no, you know, it's just not safe. We have no control over what would happen if this fire comes over. I think that people can be, they can have take some solace in the fact that there's a lot of energy being put on this fire today and into tomorrow. And I think that those evacuation zones are going to open up pretty quickly.
You just were mentioning, you know, how some of the, I mean, working on a in a rural area like this, you know, some of the most at-risk places are really remote. And I imagine a lot of people don't have reliable internet or even cell service there. I mean, how is information getting out to people like that? And then how do they know that people are safe in those areas?
Well, I think that information is definitely a challenge. It was earlier, it was even more of a challenge as the fire was really threatening the area. Just getting information from the fire line out to incident command's system was difficult. The smoke was so thick, they didn't even know where they were, some of them. So it was really, really problematic. You're right, there isn't great coverage out there. And also there are lots of locked gates. That's another issue that the sheriff had to deal with in terms of letting everybody know. So people who were signed up to Humboldt Alert did get alerts for the evacuation. And there was also sheriff's officers going around with loudspeakers, but they couldn't go to every door. So I feel pretty confident at this stage that everybody in the area is very aware that they're in an evacuation zone. But you can't say that for 100% sure if somebody's just holed up at their place. And I do know that people have opted to stay. And, as the sheriff says, they can't do anything about that. What they can say is that if they've given as much notice as humanly possible, and if any tragedy should happen in terms of the fire really taking off quickly, they're not going to be able to help people who stay behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were reading some of the online commentary, one of the other concerns seems to be with the homeless populations. There are a fair number of transient people and communities in Southern Humboldt. What kind of efforts are being made to get information out to those populations?
Well, we've actually got a great group of people working with the homeless population, houseless population, and getting reports in from Patty Ray, actually, who's been doing a lot of work. She's also my representative on the Housing and Homelessness Solutions Committee. And so they've made arrangements should the evacuation zone go into the areas where the houseless are typically staying. Now, they're usually in around Redway and Garberville. And so none of those are in the evacuation zone. But there are plans made for them. And there are some who are being housed because of COVID. There are also plans for moving those and vehicles available to move them. So those, you know, when I say they're housed because of COVID, I'm not saying any of them are particularly COVID patients, but even people who are vulnerable are being housed to help them.
For people who might feel the urge to want to help out by contributing time or resources, is there anywhere you'd recommend them directing their energies? Or
right now,
people just stay out of the way. Have you got this? Like,
I think stay out of the way is a big part of it. The Mateel certainly is all volunteer. So if people have that energy to help, that's a good place to focus your energy. The other thing people in the Southern Humboldt area can do is just be prepared should anything go wrong. Again, I'm pretty confident that with the resources being put on it now, we're in pretty good shape. People can always help. I know that the firefighters are getting a lot of love right now. They're saying no thank you to the food, but make donations to your local firefighters. That's really a key thing. I mean, out at the camp this morning, I recognize so many people. They're being a part of the team. And all of these guys are volunteers, guys and gals, and they're there. So help them, donate to them. Actually help them if they need auxiliary help at the fire stations. People to keep things going. That would be really helpful.
You mentioned the Mateel Community Center and the Ferndale Fairgrounds are evacuation sites that people can go to. Do you have any sense of if those locations are at capacity or are they doing okay, the people that are working and staffing those places?
Yeah, they're doing fine, as far as I understand it. And neither one of them is at capacity, as I understand it. One of the things that is a challenge in this time is the fact that we're dealing also with the COVID emergency. So where normally you might have a whole room full of people on cots, etc., that just doesn't fly. That's why there's motel rooms being made available, etc. And I know that if people are going to gather, they're going to separate them out, at a fairly manageable distance. But generally speaking, I think they're doing fine. It's kind of settled down. The anxiety, again, I'll say, is all about, can we get back? Can we get back to normal? I know that I've heard from ranchers who are concerned about their cattle. Some actually were looking at cutting their fences. Now they want their cattle back. And then you have, they want to feed them. Then you have cannabis growers wanting to make sure that their crops are tended, and some who are already at the harvest stage. So, you've got people like that who are concerned up in that area.
We'll get to COVID here. We want to ask you some COVID questions here in a second, but looking ahead with regards to fire, we got a little bit of a reprieve last year, but everything I'm reading would indicate that we are looking down the barrel of a long fire season this year. I guess what I want to know is from your vantage point, is Humboldt ready?
Humboldt is extremely resilient. Okay. I think that the bigger question, what we have here is in the cases we're dealing with now, is a large percentage of the fire is U.S. Forest Service. As it comes out into private property, now we're dealing with CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE is very, very aggressive when they deal with these kinds of situations. I know a lot of the guys from other fires. The incident command team, however, we were talking about it just this morning. In a normal year, they might wind up at two events and then get some time to go home. And he was, the guy I was talking about with this morning, came up from Santa Cruz. Had about 30 hours to be with his family, and now he's back into this. And he envisions going to many other events as we go through. So that's what's different about this year. There's far more events to cover that need the kind of resources we need for a fire this big. As far as getting on fires, just the other day we had a fire up on Fruitland Ridge. It was not a lightning-based fire, just an explosion in the house. And, the intense fear was, here we have something that could create a fire on the other side of the evacuation line that could create the need for evacuation again. So I think that the local firefighters have been great about getting on those fires and getting them out. And I have a lot of faith in them. They practice all the time. They put their heart and soul into it. So I say we have a lot of faith in them, but also you have to understand it's not just our faith in them and their resilience and their heart, but there's only so far they can go before they absolutely just have to stop because they're burned out, you know. So hopefully they don't get to that stage.
Yeah, they are certified badasses.
They are. Definitely. Yeah, gosh.
They were my heroes before firefighter heroes were the thing. I mean, just like always, those are people who really, truly care for their communities and put themselves on the line day in and day out. And their families, you know, who just know that they're going to take off at a moment's notice and go fight a fire. So we love them. We want to help them and keep them. They're the best.
Absolutely. well, going back to talking a little bit about COVID, which you mentioned, and of course, this is a really unprecedented time dealing with the fire season while in the midst of a global pandemic. We're about 6 months in now here in Humboldt since the shelter-in-place orders came down. And are you getting a sense of how this is specifically going to impact your district economically or otherwise? What are your feelings on that right now?
You know, it's all very much up in the air, Stephanie. You know, it's really interesting. It's definitely impacted the economy and businesses that's throughout the nation and the world for that matter. But I think that, again, the resilience comes into play. And the county recognized that there might be an economic impact right from the get-go. That's when we set up our whole economic emergency response team. And so we've focused on making it possible for people to kind of get through, if at all possible. How it's going to end up as we go forward for the next few months with the flu season and all of that, we just don't know. The key to me is what we've been doing so far, which is actually taking the steps to be careful. If we mask, if we social distance, if we adapt in terms of our work patterns like we have at the county, some people have to work from home because their kids are distance learning, those kind of things. But if we adapt and we keep from, you know, some big blow-ups of infection, then we can continue on at a steady pace. But it's kind of in our hands, you know. And at the same time, what happens, you know, when you've got an event like a fire, if you have a whole bunch of people evacuating, are you going to get more of a spread? We don't know. Now, CAL FIRE's being very, very conscious of that. And, you know, they're trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. But anyway, back to COVID. We'll know a little bit more as we look at the budget here. For the first quarter, that was our intent when we passed the budget in June, was that it would be a kind of a placeholder, and we'll get a better feel. Some businesses are doing extremely well, and then some of the smaller businesses not so much. So for the smaller businesses, any kind of a hiccup is really difficult to handle. The essential services, they can go on all, as much as they need to. And so, you know, our task is to make sure that people like restaurants and smaller entrepreneurial businesses can get by, and also, of course, people and their kids in school. So we've got, you know, we still have all of that to contend with.
Yeah. And it's been quite amazing.
It's not going away.
Yeah. It has been amazing to see how businesses and people have adapted to this. And up here, you know, in Eureka and Arcata and stuff, seeing a lot of, you know, restaurants do moving to outdoors and things like that. I guess I'm not as aware of what has been going on in some of the of your district with things like that. But
we're doing the same. You know, the county made a move to make it possible to get encroachment permits without any strings attached for the duration of the COVID emergency. So quite a number of restaurants are doing that. They're doing takeout. So that's working. And most small businesses have kind of worked protocols into play. I think this whole system that the Joint Information Center and the EOC put into to being, which is how you would register your business, not only did it help people kind of visualize how they might be able to survive, but it actually was a back and forth between them and the county and the state and what are the best practices. Yeah. So anybody who can do that, and then remember, the other part of it was, okay, business is reopened, but if people are not in the mood to go out, then if your business is retail or something like that, are you going to do okay? Well, if you look at the restaurants, I see people all the time at restaurants. I think people are happy to go out and be with each other to the extent possible. So, you know, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. All of the response has been incredible. And I think that, you know, Humboldt County and public health have been all doing a really excellent job. I think we were all probably somewhat taken aback by Dr. Frankovich's announcement that she would be resigning as the Humboldt County public health officer. How did you react to that news? And how do you think that this will affect the county's COVID response moving forward?
Well, you know, it was fairly sudden. You know, I was not aware that this was coming down the pike, although I could have imagined that at a certain point, because of just how much work it took for Dr. Frankovich to put everything in place, there would be a certain time and she wanted to dial it back. So, yeah. But it was still a surprise to me that she just wanted to resign and then be part-time and have somebody else be health officer, because it's important to have a person in that position. That buck stops with them. They make the final decision. And so that's how she viewed it. As far as moving forward, first of all, I think she's done a tremendous job along with the Emergency Operations Center and the Joint Information Center, the sheriff, everybody involved. Every department in the county is a part of this. Every department is represented. Every department sends workers to help in it, from planning to health to everybody. So I think that we have a very robust system in place. And we now have, you know, special, more testing. We have expanded our tracing capacity, expanded a lot, all under the guidance of Dr. Frankovich as part of that team. So I think going forward, if we stick with that, we'll be in a good position. And again, she's said that she'll stay on, you know, to work with whoever takes her place. And in the meantime, she'll be there until we find that person. So that's, I think we're in a fairly good position. You know, it's interesting to me that when this first started, I thought it was just going to be a few weeks. You know, I really did that. Okay, maybe by June we'll be done. When March slipped away and then we got to April, like, oh.
Yeah. I think we were all thinking that.
Yeah.
How naive you must have been.
Yeah. It's my first global pandemic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think pretty much every one of us. Yeah. And I think that, you know, bottom line, we've kind of been slowly but surely put ourselves in a pretty good position. If you look at the state as a whole, you know, 58 counties, and we're one of a very few that have been able to keep a handle on it. So that's where I see us going. I hope we'll keep doing that.
Yeah, it turns out Humboldt is a pretty good place to write out a global pandemic. I don't want to jinx it, but that's how it has felt. Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay, moving on. I want to ask you about the role of social media in Humboldt currently as it relates to some of the serious issues facing the county. We at Loco, we kind of feel a duty to keep an eye on the online conversation and all the weird turns it takes. Earlier this week, as the fire information was circulating, there was this nugget out there about how the fire might have jumped the Eel River, which turned out it was not true. I think I saw Hansel actually jumping on there to correct that misinformation. And there's obviously a lot of dubious commentary about COVID out there. I'm sure you agree that there are positives from being able to push information out online, but how much do you worry about that online ecosystem in times like this?
Well, I do worry about it, actually. As a former reporter and as a reporter at heart, I kind of like to deal in facts. And yeah. When I heard about the potential that the fire had come across, and I actually had a person who shall remain nameless call me and say, it's crossed at Pipe Creek, we're up the creek, et cetera. I immediately texted the Humboldt del Norte chief and asked him, can you verify this? Yeah. That's what I wanted to know. And it took them a while to verify it. It turned out it hadn't happened. Yeah. And so, part of that is just the general climate, I think, in the country today. Everybody's anxiety ridden, and there's a lot of false information floating around. So this and when you get CAL FIRE concerned that this could happen, it's a short step away to saying it did. Okay. Yeah. And so there's the fear is there, the fear creates it. And, my feeling is in terms of social media, in terms of getting information out, I'm never going to put something out that I haven't been able to verify, at least to some degree. I stick pretty close to the fact. As far as the conversation that's going on out there, when we first started becoming, I'm old enough to know that there was a time before the internet. And when we first started becoming cognizant of the power of the internet, it was always the case that it was going to be for good. It was going to help us all be educated. And it really is. I mean, we're completely addicted to finding facts, just Googling or whatever, but there's also a real window in there for people to disseminate false information, because of what I notice in terms of just a human, now I'm not a shrink, by the way, but just my general observation, humans can be drawn to the negative, out of fear of things or survival or whatever. So somebody puts a negative out, and that's where all the attention goes. And so I do worry a little bit about the kind of misinformation that gets out there. And then the fighting, well, I saw it here, I saw it somewhere, somebody told me, or I saw a post about this, or, it's not helpful.
At this point, would you say it's a net positive or a net negative?
Oh,
I know that's kind of broad.
that's a tough one. I think it's right there in the middle. It's got positives and negatives. I sometimes you want to say it's incredibly negative. I just want to slam everything shut and walk away. And other times I think this is really great. I was able to find out this information. So it's got both sides, So what it comes down to is now it comes down to the individual. Are you going to take the time to actually, instead of saying, oh my God, the sky is falling, are you going to take the time to say, okay, let me check that a couple of others. So if we're all going to be reporters, we all have to do what reporters should do, which is to check your sources, check the facts.
Yes. And I do see a lot of now that out on social media too, of people, trying to check themselves and others on that. So
yeah, and also people not checking themselves.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's
but I'm trying to focus on the positive instead of the negative. I'm trying to.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is. It's really helpful. You know, I do think that it's the go-to place now for information. You know, it's a little bit scary. In that regard, if you go back to things like FHIR, et cetera, things go haywire. You're not going to be able to find it on your phone, you know. Yeah. So you need to be more a little bit more educated. But I do think that it is very helpful in a lot of cases. I use it. I you know, I send things out all the time just to kind of spread it a little further, share things that the sheriff puts out or whatever, or any information I have, because, you know, at least I know that it's reliable, and if people want to check there, you know, they'll get the facts.
Yeah. So we'll say jury's still out.
Jury's still out. Yeah. We remember that. It's got so much potential. I also think that we all have potential. We can make it what we choose, you know.
Fair.
Absolutely. Well, one more thing that we want to get to, of course, as if things weren't crazy enough, we also have an election coming up in less than two months, as I'm sure you're well aware, and you are in a runoff against your challenger, Michelle Bushnell. I mean, with COVID and now the fires, are you even able to campaign at all? You know, is this even close to a priority for you? And, you know, also, is there any message that you'd like to get out there to the voters?
Well, I think that, you know, it has been really, really difficult because of this whole year of being, you know, dealing with COVID, dealing with now with the fires, et cetera, and dealing with just everything that we're handling at the county level. It's difficult to keep doing that because I'm very dedicated to it. And as you know, I'm the chair this year too, so that brings extra responsibilities. So it is a challenge to also have an election going on. But I think it's a challenge for everybody running for election or re-election this year. How do you get your message out? And I would just say that, you know, for me, it's kind of taken a backseat, although I know that I have to do things like, you know, get my message out however I do it. Is there very little you can do in terms of going to traditional door to door, but we can put out ads, we can put out signs, we can talk about it in debates. We have a few debates coming up. You know, I think I stand on my record as having a lot of experience, you know, knowing the job, knowing the resources that it takes to get the job done, having a really in-depth knowledge of that kind of a job, which is a very big job right now. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy the work. I enjoy working for the community. And I really, you know, we've been at a stage where we're trying to move forward on many different levels with clean energy, on the RCEA, and we're looking at the wind project, and then also just other clean industry, if you will. You know, we have the aqua farm coming up. We've now got solar farms out in my district, out Highway 36. We've got the solar farm up in at the airport. So those kind of things are important to me. I have the Eel River now with the Potter Valley project, getting the water back into the Eel. That's a very big deal to me. And all of the things that I've been working on kind of coming into place. We have the cannabis industry, the legalization, and moving forward with the work that the county is doing with Project Trellis, helping the community, doing equity funding, helping. And then you just have infrastructure, which is hugely important. And now with not just with the with what we've been dealing with all along, but with the COVID emergency, we understand the benefit of good paying jobs and people having a solid employment. So how do we get all that working? So that's a very long way of saying I really love my job. I want to continue doing it. Yeah. I feel like I'm very much suited to the job, and very well positioned to carry forward for the next 4 years.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Yeah. I think there's lots more I'm sure we could chat about, but we're getting close to our Zoom time limit here. But so, Second District Supervisor Stelfennel, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you for spending even more time on Zoom with us. I'm sure you're getting tired of these little windows. Is there anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, I just want to say again to wrap the whole thing together. It seems to me that working together makes us stronger. Working together, we're stronger together, and that's been my whole key, is like working with people, finding the ways to balance everybody's vision, everybody's needs. That's the way we get move forward, and I think that's a key element of how we're going to stay healthy and have a wonderful future for Humboldt. So that's where I stand.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again.
And thank you, guys. It's really been a pleasure talking with you. This was kind of fun.
Oh, well, gosh, thank you. We hope
we try to be fun. We
try to offer a little bit of fun. Yeah, we appreciate it so much. And
and thank you for your work. I really want to say I really appreciate it, that I can, if I want something that's not highly abrasive and weird, I can go to Loco.
Well, not always.
That might be the first time I've heard that exact compliment. Yeah. But thank you.
No, I think you guys are doing a great job, and thank you for that.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Estelle. Bye.
Okay, now I leave you. Bye.
Well, thank you so much to Second District Supervisor Stelfennel.
She had just come from a fire camp, so she could talk a little Loco.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, anyway, for all and everyone out there, stay safe, wear a mask, and we'll get through this. Like Estelle said,
let's work together. Make sure you, double check your info out there, and then you'll be all right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. See you next week. Bye, Andrew. Bye, Humboldt.
Goodbye.